I'm too sexy for my talent, too sexy for my talent. Don't care about your opinion.
Yeah,
I'm a narcissist, you know what I mean. And I do my little thing better than everyone else. Yeah, everyone else sucks. I know I'm better than everyone.
Woohoo! Yeah. Except for reading. Really bad at reading.
Come on, guys.
Monsters and madmen, rejoice. It is time for the Great American Creep Show.
What's up, creeps? Welcome back to the Great American Creep Show. Puffy Combs here taking over hosting duties tonight from our normal host, Sugar Free.
What up?
Hey, Combs.
Also with us tonight, delightfully saying hi to me, might I add. Sounded adorable. Poopy Lukey's in the house. And sitting next to me tonight, which is a change in our new studio here,
yeah,
the one and only Rager Tooth. Whew, that was intimidating.
Was it? That felt like visceral.
I'm also fully aroused right now. From
you should do it in one of those paper towel tubes.
Like a homemade megaphone.
Yeah.
No, the longer the tube, the deeper it is.
It sounds
that's
crazy.
What she said,
"Hey-o, hey-o,
never to me."
Don't.
Listen,
feeding it.
I don't often get a hey-o. So
right out of the gate, just encouraging bad behavior.
There's a reason.
Hey, got we're you. Excited tonight for all the listeners out there. We have a really great show ahead for you this evening. We are doing 90s one hit wonders. The Great American Creep Show's top 10 90s one hit wonders. There's a couple caveats here that I want to list for you all. So keep in mind when you're hearing this list, what we said is we can only choose songs from artists that had a top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts and never charted again with another top 10. So there may be some controversial songs and things like that on here this evening.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, that was sort of our bar. That's where we set the bar.
So before you think in your head when we're talking, because I hear from some listeners like, in my head, I was whatever. So before you hear in your head, they had another hit. We already know.
Yeah, we get it.
It was
might have charted
hit.
It even like 11, but it didn't crack the top 10. So they are not allowed to be, I mean, technically they can be in the list because it didn't crack the top 10.
Yeah.
So that is the caveat tonight. So keep that in mind. You're going to hear some controversial, probably songs on here.
Yeah.
And you are going to say, I love that band and they definitely had more hits than that. We agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not top. At least according to our research, searching the Billboard is extremely difficult.
Very difficult. And keep in mind, we've always said, do not write a term paper based on what we do. So we do our research. This is what we came up with. This is Great American Creep Show's top 10, and it is in a specific particular order this evening. So this isn't our normal 10 list where we just give you 10 random, you know, scary movies or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Tonight is definitely top 10 based on what we believe.
And the thing is, too, is if there's something you don't agree with or you think somebody had another hit or you have a top 10 list of your own, please email us at where?
GreatAmericanCreepShow@gmail.com.
Where?
GreatAmericanCreepShow@gmail.com.
There it is.
Also, you can check us out on our socials. Where are those at, Luke?
Dude, don't even.
Nice.
I got distracted.
Good to see Poopy on top of his game tonight.
Just killing it.
You can find us at Great American Creep Show on Instagram, Facebook, and soon TikTok.
And also the YouTubes. Check us out on the YouTubes as well. We have some videos up on there we think you guys would enjoy. Let's get right into this, guys. I'm excited. We do have a bit tonight for everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we've decided to combine two of probably, I think, our listeners' favorite bits. Luke explains, and is Luke stupid? So we're kind of doing a hybrid of both of those this evening that I think you're really, really going to enjoy. And Luke, if you're ready... I'm ready. Scott, are you ready?
I'm ready because I think I have the question, right?
I believe you do have the question.
Mm-hmm.
Rager Tooth, are you ready?
Ready.
I'm going to hand it over to our normal high-haired host.
Okay, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Luke explains, and is Luke stupid?
Okay. Luke, and you remember the rules of the game. You have two questions.
Yes.
What are the questions?
Can you say it in a sentence?
And what else?
Can you spell it?
Love it. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. That's it. That's it. That's all I get.
Yep.
Luke, for all of the points, in reference to time, what does PM and AM stand for?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we'll go ahead. Use it in a sentence.
Ding, 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 ding.
Use it in a sentence.
Okay.
In regards to AM.
AM and PM. Use both.
Yeah. Scott, go right ahead. Give him the AM first.
You got the AM.
Okay. Okay.
Get it together, guys.
All right. In a sentence, let's see here. AM. I am not feeling very well today because I got kicked in the nuts by my daughter.
And in regards to PM, I drank a lot of water today and I am PM a lot.
AM and PM.
So that helped.
So you can, if you don't know what AM and PM stands for, then we'll just move past that mm-hmm. and we'll just go into Luke Explains AM and PM.
You do have one more question if you want to utilize that question as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
All right. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Scott, can you spell it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Latin and it comes from the letters P and M. that is the literal Latin interpretation.
And the other one also Webster comes said from that, right? And the other one also comes from the Latin. The letter A.
Yeah.
And the letter M.
M.
A capital.
I'll give you another. You want me to give you another hint? One means before midday.
Are you
and one means after midday.
Okay.
So
for Luke, all the points.
For all the points in the world. What does AM and PM stand for?
I honestly, I'm 100%. I have no idea what they stand for. But I do know that, like, without a doubt, you would use. Okay.
So let's skip past that part. Let's go into Luke Explains. Luke Explains.
That's what I was about to get into.
Okay, perfect. AM and PM. Explain that for us.
Well, okay. So typically, if I was to, like, write out time, like for my job, I have a time sheet that I have to fill out. So for that, if it was like 8 a.m. and that's after midnight, I would use a.m. up until noon, which would then become p.m. Anything after noon is p.m. Anything after midnight is a.m.
Okay. I mean, that is a pretty good definition of AM and PM, but Reese really gave you a really good hint.
A very good hint.
As to what AM and PM mean.
Go ahead.
You want me to tell him?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So AM is ante-meridium, and then PM is post-meridium, Latin.
Yeah.
In the Latin.
In the, Latin.
So...
I don't.
Luke,
well done. Well done, Luke.
Honestly, not bad.
Not bad at all.
No, that was really good.
Your explanation and tying it back to what you do for a living is not bad. You weren't. Here's the deal. You weren't wrong. You weren't wrong.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go right into this, guys.
Let's get it.
Top 10 list.
I'll give you a D+.
Top 10. Reese is going to give you a D plus. I'm going to give you like a C minus.
Feel like it fell short.
Not bad. No. You did well.
Standard C.
Yeah.
Could have done better.
I mean, Scott's grading you on pretty high there. There must be a curve.
Yeah. Learning disability C, but still a C.
It's afternoon.
We're going to jump right into this top 10 list, and we're going to start it with the Great American Creep Show's number 10. I'm going to be 500 miles by the Proclaimers.
Yes.
I mean, how great was that song when it first came out?
It's a great song to kick off the list.
Loved it.
Yeah.
When you were with this is my question for you guys. When you were with a group of friends and this song came on in the car, or you're at a buddy's house or something like that, were you not screaming the da-da-da-da's at the top of your lungs?
Yeah, always.
Absolutely.
And without even having to say it or acknowledge it, you would rotate it with your friends.
My favorite part, I could never wait to get to the chorus where he was like 1,000 miles.
Yeah, because you got to do an accent.
Really, really over pronunciate.
Yeah, of course.
1,000. You know, like I gave it all kinds of. I didn't care about the da da da's because I knew my boys had that. But I was like,
they had your
everyone
back.
Everyone listen to me, 1,000. And everyone's like, yeah, you really good at that one word.
You were fat bastard before fat bastard existed.
I'm dead sexy.
I think there's probably a video out there somewhere too, Combs, of you and I going through an ATM and us actually singing that into the ATM camera.
I remember that.
Yeah. We did that, and then Queen, Another One Bites the Dust.
We did do that, but yeah, man. Every time we would, Reese and I would pull up to an ATM together, that we knew they had a camera, and we would just blare our whatever song was on.
Yep.
And those were our two favorite to do,
yep.
The Proclaimers and Queen.
Yep.
And we would sit there, even if cars were in line behind us, until we finished the song, to entertain the bank tellers, man.
Dude. Yep.
It's such an entertaining song.
They have a boring job, man. You got to give them some entertainment every now and then.
Would
counting take money all day.
$500.
And you know, when people.
Hi-yo!
Hey, Luke!
Not bad, sir. Not bad.
I would take 5,000 more. 5,000 more.
Well, I'm going to give you some background on this song. So it was written and performed by the Scottish duo The Proclaimers, released as a single from their 88 album Sunshine on the Lathe. And here's one factoid about this that I thought was very interesting. It was released in 88 on that album.
Yeah.
And released as a single from that album. Didn't hit, right? Then it was used in the movie Benny and June.
Right. Yep.
And after that, it reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 in August of 1993, immediately following that movie, because that movie was such a huge hit.
Right.
Good movie.
And that song is obviously in that movie, and that's the standout song in that movie. And Benny and June is a cool movie.
Yeah.
So it immediately shot up the charts. So for 5 years, this song basically did, I mean, to say it did nothing would be inaccurate. In other countries and places like that, it was charting and it was doing really well. But as far as the States are concerned, it didn't really hit the charts until August of 93, 5 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when it came out, it hit number 11 in the UK.
Yeah, I think it was like 11 in the UK, Canada charted. There were two or three countries where it hit pretty high on their charts.
And I think you said this. I don't know if you said it the way I was thinking, but the cool thing about it being it was in Benny and June, Benny and John, but
June.
Benny and June.
Not Benny. Well, maybe. Never mind.
I think it was Benny and John.
No, it's Benny and June.
It's Benny and
Johnny
June,
Depp. Yeah.
With Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay.
Just depends on where you fall on the spectrum.
Anyway. Round 2 is Luke stupid.
Luke explains Benny and John.
Anyway, but that's how it was released to the States. It wasn't released like on an album where that's how it was released.
So yeah, people had no idea this song even existed stateside.
So that's actually pretty cool.
That is super cool. Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting to me when a song is heard through that format, like a movie, and then it just hits. I always thought that was pretty cool. Just another way for artists to get the opportunity to get a hit. So we're going to move on. We're going to jump over to number 9.
Number 9.
I'm going to hand this over to Sugar Free over here to tell us about this one. But I got to say before we do, when I was a kid, I was wearing my shit backwards.
I knew literally
every line to this song. And yeah, if you weren't doing the mig-a-da-mig-a-da-mig-a-da-mig-a-da-max in this, I don't know who you are.
Dude, it was another song where you just couldn't wait for those parts because everybody'd be like, because I'm the Mickey-da-Mickey-da-Mickey-da-Mickey-da-Mac-daddy. And everybody's like, oh, watch, I can do it too.
Just like going back and forth with your boys.
Rhyme, but they can't rhyme like this.
What? So if you guys haven't figured it out yet, Jump by Criss Cross.
Yeah, man. This song really resonates with me. Me and Spatch, who used to be on the show quite a bit. We made so many mixtapes to Crisscross. We used to try DJ it up because they were our shit, man. They was two little kids. You know, we was two little kids, and we was like, yo, totally crossed out, dude. Like,
for sure.
Crisscross really was the hip-hop group that changed me from dressing like a rocker, ripped up jeans and bandanas, to literally wearing my clothes backwards.
Chain wallets,
yeah.
But on never lost a chain wallet.
Bandanas hanging out of your back pocket.
Absolutely. Front pocket.
Yeah.
So Crisscross, the song Jump came out in 1992, and it was the first rap song to hit the Billboard and go 8 weeks or longer.
Man.
It was a double platinum song. And these two cats were friends since the first grade.
The first grade.
Yeah.
These two cats were friends since the first grade.
Thirthly, guys.
They really resonated with each other.
Yeah, they resonated very well.
And you'd be surprised how many people was wearing their clothes backwards.
Everyone.
In 92, man.
I think like, this was like fifth grade for me. Fifth, sixth grade, right around then.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that was a dude. Like, the girls didn't really do it all that often, but, like, I don't know anyone in my school that was a dude that wasn't rocking, like, a backwards jersey.
Yeah.
You know, like, a baseball jersey or, like, backwards jeans or whatever. We were all doing
it. I even knew better because I was a sophomore.
I did it one time, and a kid named Nico punched me in the face, and I never did it again.
He was like, turn your clothes around.
Shout out to Nico.
Nico but Davis.
He really intended to punch you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
He's like, my bad, dude. I meant to hit you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
I was confused.
That would really suck for anybody wearing black sweatpants and black shirts.
Yeah.
Only.
It is weird that Scott was wearing the clothes backwards at 27 really was, years man. Old, though. Like, that's the weirdest thing.
Going to AK Steel or whatever job you had back then.
Yeah.
I was like, driving a truck in a Teamsters union.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, what's going on, guys? Why is no one else totally crossed out? Yeah,
the white K-Swiss.
He's just always backing up everywhere he goes.
Hoffa came out of hiding and was like, turn your clothes around here, Scat.
Yeah. This ain't the Teamsters.
This is my union.
All my dad's redneck buddies was like, yeah, I was just standing old wire neck to the miters, by God, and here it come. With the britches on backwards.
I didn't know how
he took late. Oh, it's to call him the freak.
Something else about Crisscross is they blew up so big, they landed a spot on Michael Jackson's 1992 tour.
You're struggling tonight.
Dude, I think I had a stroke before you guys got here.
I think so, too,
honestly. I was telling Reese, like, I might be dying.
Well, the left side of your face is drooping.
We're all dying
Yeah, Bell's palsy. 1992 European Dangerous Tour. They landed a spot as an opening act on that.
I mean, that's as big as it gets at that time.
They were also 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's as well. So, wait a minute.
Where are we going with this, Michael? What are we doing?
I just think that these two boys would be great on the tour.
They'd be great.
I would love to have them here.
They can even sleep over in the dressing room.
I think I'm going to put them on my jam video, too. I'm going to give them some of that sweet wine I make at home.
Get
make
it,
sure
jam?
You get them
jam! Eat it! Too hot to take a jam!
Yeah, but anyway, so that's what I got on the old Crisscross.
Great song, man. And I think they had another hit. And
warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born to do.
Someone try to rhyme it, yeah, but you can't touch this. Something shit like that.
So this is what I'm saying. When we say controversial, this could be one where listeners are you know, they're tuning in right now and they're like, man, Crisscross had more than one hit. Yeah, but technically,
per my research, it did not crack the top 10.
Exactly.
Warm it up, Chris did not. And another one, not another one rides the bus, but something about a play crown. Something about a play. Or no, that was ABC.
Yeah.
I thought it was another Red creation.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the playground song. And then they had the Aisha,
you are the girl I never had, and I want to get to know you better.
Yeah, Aisha. I wonder if he ever did.
That's even out of my wheelhouse.
If he ever got with Aisha, I don't know, man.
Or at least got to know her.
Yeah, he wanted to get to know her. She's a girl he never had.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Jump, great song.
Great song.
Brings back a lot of memories for me. I'm sure it brings back a lot of memories for everybody here as well, except for maybe Poopy, who was negative like 34 years old when that song came out.
I know Jump.
You know Crisscross Jump?
I mean, I've heard it. They played it on like, you know, kids shows and stuff. Like, it wasn't like just the beat and them doing the jump, jump.
Yeah. I love
it.
You should know better. Anyway, all right. We're going to move on to number eight.
Number eight.
Controversial figure. actually, because of an SNL appearance where she ripped up a photo of the Pope.
She was the first of her kind.
She really was. She I mean, honestly, she really was,
she
man.
She was, dude.
Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
Great song.
I mean, beautiful song. She delivers it incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, beautiful voice in that song, you know.
And Smoke Show, too.
Yeah.
When she was younger, I mean, for sure.
Never needed a hairdryer. No.
The original G.I. Jane.
Yep.
That's true. That's true. Demi just ripping shit off of people.
Yeah, Jada. What about that, Jada?
What's up, Jada?
What about that, Will? Whoa.
You didn't see her.
Propecia. You are the hair I never had.
Alopecia. Oh,
that's what I meant. Alopecia. Well,
what's propecia?
I need propecia.
Is propecia lack of propane?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what
Luke
it is.
Luke explains propecia.
It's actually a color. It's like a purple meets maroon. Oh. Or is that puce?
That's puce. Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever.
I thought it was buce.
Propecia is a hair growing product. Something that I would imagine Scott used before he got the rug.
Yeah.
So
a condom?
Propecia, man.
Oh, no, a bag on his head.
Oh, bandana.
No, he had one of them hats with the flipped up
bandana
bill,
Steve.
Like the bent up bill.
All right, number 8, Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor. Song was actually written and composed by Prince.
The one.
Yes.
The only.
The man.
I mean, maybe.
The symbol.
Arguably the greatest of all time. He's up there.
It's up there, buddy.
He's up there. Top three, definitely. Some people may say top five. I think top three, just greatest artist of all time. But he wrote that for a side project called The Family, and they actually had that song on their 1985 debut album. After being recorded by Sinead for her second album, the song became a worldwide hit, was number one on the Billboard Hot 100. And here's something that I thought was really interesting about it. The song was also named by Billboard as the world's number one single at the first Billboard Music Awards.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this song was huge when it came out.
And Prince was not happy about it.
No, Prince was not having it. He really wanted The Family to get the shine.
Yeah.
And Sinead did it and killed it, man. Honestly.
She did kill it.
And you can, and for the listeners out there, you can go and tune in to the actual version by The Family and listen to it and compare them if you want. But as far as I'm concerned, nothing compares to Sinead's version. So
yeah. And then she had like all that bullshit when she was on, she was on
Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live. So, and she ripped up the picture of the Pope.
The Pope. Yeah. You know, at the time she's ripping up a picture of the Pope and everyone's like, what is this crazy bitch doing? And then next thing you know,
she was trying to tell us.
It was like, we find out priests have been diddling little kids
touching little boys' booty holes.
And Sinead was ahead of her time in every way possible. The shaved head.
She was.
Ripping up the Pope's pick. Like the whole thing. She was ahead of the game. Yeah. So
damn,
shout
diddlers.
Out to Sinead O'Connor. Yeah, anytime you want to come on the show, we would love to have you. We would love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, you never know.
You never
I do this every week. Every time we mention a big celeb, I'm like, if you want to come on the show, please do. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah, bring a picture of the Pope.
Yeah, come talk to us, Shay Shay.
What if we get an email from old Shay Shay next week and she's like, oh, I'd love to be on the show. It'd be great.
I'd kiss your ass.
I'll sing Nothing Compares to You if you'd like me to.
Would you just sound like Brad Pitt from the Devil's Own.
She's like, I won't walk it, but I'll certainly fly 1,000 miles if you like. Anyway, I don't know if that's what she sounds like. We're going to move on to the number.
She just seems like the kind of gal that would sound that way.
If she wanted to be on the show, now she doesn't.
That's exactly
right. Is that really like her accent? Or?
Yeah, she's from Ireland.
Yeah, she's Irish.
She sounds like Marty McFly's great-great-grandfather.
Yeah. Martin McFly. Oh, hello, Martin.
Whatever.
You got to look out for Biff Tanner. Come right in here and shoot your ass. Shoot your arse, that's what he said.
That's what you do walking around without a hat.
Yeah.
Cowboys got to have a hat.
Oh, man. So moving on here, we're going to go to number 7 on the list. And that song is Tub Thumping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hand this over to Poopy. He's going to give us a little bit of an explanation of what the hell tub thumping even is.
Before he gets knocked down.
But he gets up again.
I don't know the meaning behind it, but I'll tell you right now, every time I get knocked down, I get back up again. That's why I'm still on the show.
Yeah, you're never going to keep him down.
Never.
So this was released in 97. Another thing that was released in 97 was me from my mom's womb.
Was your dad's nuts?
No, that happened that in 96. They're a British band, and Tub Thumping reached number 6 on the U.S. Hot 100. It was number 9 on the U.K. Hot 100, which that doesn't matter. I just want to throw that out. but it sold over 880,000 copies of that song alone.
The single.
Yeah. Just the single.
Woo doggy.
I didn't know there was more.
880,000.
That's the only song.
I didn't even know they were a band.
You can find this track in movies and TV shows, including, but not limited to, Dirty Work.
No, hold on. Nothing says I'm reading from my phone, like words like including, but not limited to.
Go ahead. So we're breaking the fourth wall, and it's okay when Scott does it.
Sorry. It's a good
Luke
point.
Luke does it. We cut it from the show.
He's kind of got you on that one a little bit.
I'll cut it out.
All right. You can find this track in movies and TV shows, including but not limited to.
Sound like a
Dirty Work, Dirty Work, Fanboys, My Super Psycho Sweet 16, and Toy Story 4. Though I've never seen Toy Story 4, but I hear it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen it either. I think my daughter's seen it, but I've never seen that movie.
That was one tune that I just could not get behind.
Well,
I couldn't either, man.
Toy Story?
No, the
song.
The song Tub Thumping. I just never... It never resonated with me.
I mean, just like Reset, you know, it's not the best song, but if it's playing, you're not going to turn it.
You know, it just reminds me of a song that we'd be playing in a barroom full of Irishmen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and everyone would be singing in unison or something.
And while they're
shit at each other.
While they're watching football on the TV.
That was
football.
Soccer.
Yeah, it never really. It's shit like that and that. What was that Barbie song?
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Wrapped in plastic.
Luke, well, he knows that plastic. One.
You can bring
come
it
on,
in.
Barbie. Let's go, Barbie. Luke's a Barbie, dude.
He's a Barbie
aqua.
Girl.
What are they called? Aqua?
Yeah, I think Aqua is the name of the group.
Luke's
yeah.
an Aqua fan.
He is. He's a big fan. He's wearing an Aqua shirt right now for listeners out there. He's got an Aqua shirt on. He loves Aqua.
It says still a freak on the back.
Well, I mean, that would make total sense.
Yeah. No, I hate that song because the quick monologue in the middle of it, and it's like, ooh, this is awkward.
Yeah, it gets weird. It gets weird.
It does.
It gets super weird.
Anyway.
Tub Thumping, I will say, is that it is the kind of song, though, that Luke is not wrong. When you're with your buddies, it comes on the radio in the car or at the bar or something like that. You're singing, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Like, you're all singing at the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
Like that song from Tommy Boy's, like, well, I mean, it's on. I'm not going to turn it.
I'm good.
I mean, I'm good if you're good.
All right, guys.
LS2.
I see. Number 6.
Tell me you love it, baby.
Great American Creep Show Top 10 90s One Hit Wonders. Drum roll, please. Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. We're going to turn this one over to our high-haired host.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get it.
See, I'm thinking of a different song, and I hope I'm not.
Man. This song gets me going, dude. Makes me want to hit the gym.
Oh, God. Scott's got a boner.
Reps.
Who did the running man dance while this song was on?
This guy.
Me. Everyone.
Guilty. So Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch released Good Vibrations in 1991, and it made it all the way to number one. Music for the People came out July 23rd, 1991. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch actually had a video game. And it never made it to the market.
Thank God.
Because they said it was the worst video game in the history of video games. Beating out that of E.T.
Nothing like an 8-bit six-pack.
Man.
Looks like they didn't market it.
An 8-bit six-pack.
Oh! I'll be here all week.
Yeah. We missed Reese's, though. What did you say, Rager?
I said they didn't market it.
I'm sorry, Reese.
No, you're good.
No, I feel bad. That sounded like a sympathy one.
Oh, man.
But I do have a genuine question, because I think I have this song mixed up with another one.
Okay.
But is that the one that goes, good, 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 good vibration?
No, that'd be the Beach Boys.
So it wasn't, okay. Because when you're, I'm like, there's no way they redid that song.
No, this one goes,
so nothing. Come on, come on.
Can you feel it, baby? I can too.
Feel it, feel it.
Sing the chorus.
Good vibration.
Come on, come on, come on.
If that song was made now, it would have just been called Good Vibes.
Hey, yo, it's about that time to break forth the rhythm and the rhyme.
Ooh.
Motherfucking Marky, bruh. He was hitting it hard. Now, Marky also had another hit. You know, I can't remember what it was called. Wild Side.
Yep.
Wild Side, yeah.
Yeah. Again, controversial.
Controversial,
but not top 10.
I don't think, again, per my research, it did not crack the Billboard top 10.
There you go.
It was close, but it did not crack the Billboard top 10.
And he has a restaurant called Wahlburgers that I've eaten at. That's very true. And they're very good burgers.
Yeah, they are really good. We ate there.
We actually ate there before the Incubus.
Very good burgers.
And they closed the one in Cincinnati down, by the way.
Why?
Just recently. Yeah, I have no idea. Just read about it recently.
That strip, there's been three places in that strip. I ate at the place before. It was like a pizza place, but...
And you know they use government cheese on every single one of their burgers?
Yep.
Because of how they grew up?
Because how they grew up.
Yeah. I thought that was really, really cool.
Hold on.
Yeah,
what is government cheese?
It's like American cheese, like
good for
slice,
you,
single slices.
And your fucking privilege.
Yeah, no doubt. White privilege screaming over there.
I asked.
Turn it down.
I get out of every ticket. What's government cheese?
So what is government cheese?
Think of like Kraft singles.
Okay.
But it's like provided by the government through like WIC programs government assistance programs for underprivileged areas and things like that.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah. And the Wahlbergs were in that circumstance as they were kids growing up in Boston. And
yeah,
so,
Dorchester. Yeah.
And
I'll
so
have
they,
you know, Scott, I was on discount lunch in high school, okay? So, like, eat my wiener.
I can't. I left my discount card at home.
That's great. That's great.
Oh, man. Guys, we are officially in the top five.
We're
in the top five. And I think and the
just
top
a shade
five,
under a decade.
Yeah, they're called doctors. Top five. It's a big deal. I think this top five is great. And I think that we really figured it out here.
Yeah.
So we're going to start out at number five. We're going to kick it over to Rager over here with Whoomp. There it is.
Whoomp. Let's go, Biscuit. Nick.
Whoomp. There it is by Tag Team.
Back again.
Yeah. Rex in effect. Whatever. So it was a Miami-based duo named DC and Steve. So,
couldn't come up with a nickname, Steve?
No, I mean, it was Steve. Scuba Steve.
Minimal effort, Steve.
Scuba Steve, damn you.
I like Steve. He's my kind of guy.
15 pieces of flair, Steve.
Yeah. So it actually reached number three in 1993, which is when it was released. And still to this date, well, I should say, as of June of 2017, it was still generating over $500,000 a year.
Oof.
The sad part is that after paying lawyers and everything like that, DC and Steve only make about 70 grand a piece.
Did they have MC Hammer's accountant?
They probably do. Right. I heard they got a tip from Evander Holyfield.
It was MC Hammer and Jacob Law Firm.
Wesley Snipes was like, don't worry about paying your taxes, man.
Don't worry about it.
No, it's cool.
It's I don't all good.
Do it. Come on, Wesley.
You never get caught. You never
just
get caught.
An LLC.
Whoop, there it is.
Whoop, whoop, there it is.
That was a big one, dude.
Every school dance.
Oh, yeah.
Every jock jams.
Every jock
skateway
jams.
Party. Every jock, skateway party. Dude,
jock jams dude. 1 through 20 had that song on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Skating parties, dude. Skateway,
dude,
Trenton,
skateway.
Ohio.
When that song came on, even those that couldn't skate
got
out
on
there.
The floor, baby. Yep. Hell yeah, you did.
That's all you did.
Because Whoomp, There It Is was on.
Yeah, I'm about to bust this ass.
I'm going out here and fuck myself up for this song.
I would just run on my shoes and get yelled at.
Yep.
Wait.
It's just the guy in the jersey.
Yeah.
Why was there a guy in a jersey? Like he was an NBA referee.
And he had a whistle.
Chasing down kids. Foul.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Get
Bill.
Out of here.
What was the other skateway song that, I mean, you guys might know it. It goes like, dun, 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 dun. You know,
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I used to hear it at skateway all the time. It was like real high pitched. Like
I can imagine a get up, get up, get up in it.
No, it was just that.
No, the guy sang it. It was like keep on rocking, keep on rocking. Yeah, I know exactly where.
Yeah. Great. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that was a good one. I remember when that song would come on, everybody would backwards skate, and I couldn't backwards skate, and I was like, you guys are dicks.
Yeah. Reese would just get out there on his shoes.
Just run around, dude.
And just run backwards.
Little Razy Reacher Cuff Tooth would just get out there and just run with his shoes.
Yeah, Rager Cub, and that's me out there.
Bill, the NBA official, was just trying to chase him down.
Yeah.
Blowing his whistle.
Yeah.
Get back here, kid. Reese is flipping him off like, why you got a referee shirt on anyway?
I threw my marbles on the ground.
You guys remember when... You guys remember the skating parties when rollerblades became a thing and like people would show up in their rollerblades and not just do rental skates anymore? It's like all the cool guys at school that like parents had money, they were all rocking rollerblades.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was there for like a 30 seconds.
Yeah, it happened for about two skating parties and then no one ever wore rollerblades again.
I always felt out at the skating parties because I had to rent the skates and I had the nasty brown colored,
that's what I always had.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody, like all my friends would have like the black skates with the glitter wheels.
Yeah, they get like their own skates.
And they would brag about their bearings. Like, oh yeah, I got these custom bearings. And I'm like,
meanwhile, you were just the kid that was sitting at the table with your little slice of pizza and your Coca-Cola in the clear plastic cup with the square ice.
Why did they make those skates so fucking ugly? They did it on purpose. They did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so kids like us could be like, womp.
And they always went like halfway up your shin. But then the cool ones were always like just cut off at the ankle.
Exactly. You look like an idiot.
Yeah, you're out there skating in hooker boots.
Yeah, look like Marilyn Manson.
Reach out and touch skates. That's not even Marilyn Manson. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to go to number four. And I think this one is going to probably be, in my opinion, the most controversial one on the list in terms of this band had a lot of other hits.
Mm-hmm.
But according, again, to our research, this band had one hit in the Billboard Hot 100 charts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of other great songs.
Oh, yeah.
And I think all of us in here would agree. It is Runaround by Blues Traveler.
Something in my head, I couldn't escape the memory of a phone call and oh, what you said. Like a game show contestant with a parting gift, I could not believe my eyes when I saw through the thoughts of a trusted friend who needs to humor me and tell me lies. Yeah, humor me and tell me lies. And I'll lie to and say I don't mind. And as we seek, so shallow we find. And when you're feeling open, I'll still be here. But now without a certain degree of fear, well, what will be with you and me? I still can't see things so fully, but yeah. Why you wanna give me a run around? Is it a surefire way?
Blues Traveler,
really good.
If I was wearing looser pants, I would have thrown my underwear at you.
I would have appreciated it.
If I was wearing underwear, I would have thrown them at you.
Hi-oh! Now's your chance, Colts!
Love how my voice cracked right at the highest part there. It's a really tough song to sing.
Yeah.
Written and performed by rock band Blues Traveler and featured on the band's fourth album, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I had no idea that they had three albums prior to this before I started researching it. It became the band's breakthrough hit. The song peaked at number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. Here's a really cool fact. The song was first performed by the full band. So John Popper had actually done this song as a solo on his own prior to this. But the first time it was ever performed by the full band was on February 21st of 1994 at the famous club, New York City Club, CBGB, which I thought was really cool. So you think about...
Y'all going down to CBGB tonight?
I mean, you think about all of the amazing artists that came out of that club.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, right out of the gate, I'm like Talking Iconic. Heads, Blondie. I mean,
everyone.
Basically everybody.
Green Day.
Green Day. I mean, great band, so many great bands. Won a Grammy in 1996 for Best Rock Vocal Performance by a Duo or Group,
yeah,
which I thought was really cool, too. So yeah, Blues Traveler Runaround. And again, controversial.
Yeah.
The Mountain Winds Again, Hook.
So
you can name a bunch of other songs by this band.
Let's take a second and talk about the Runaround video. Because I still don't know to this day if it was a rumor or if it was true. You know what I'm talking about? The truth behind the Blues Traveler's video, because you didn't see them. They were playing behind the curtain. And there was a stigma that was going on that the record company forced them to play kind of like a Milli Vanilli because John Popper was a big guy.
Yeah.
And so they put him behind the curtain and they put this young, hip-looking band lip-singing to John Popper in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know to this day if it was a rumor or if it's true that it was done on purpose as a joke or if it was done because John Popper was overweight and the record company didn't feel that he looked the part of a pop star.
You can go ahead. You may be thinking exactly what I'm about to say.
Maybe.
I was going to say that if you think about the song Hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
The song Hook is all about kind of knocking essentially listeners, like fans and people who listen to like popular music.
Yeah.
That all I have to do is write this catchy hook and it brings you back.
Right.
And so I think that John Popper had almost a sense of humor about things. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's not true that it was the label's idea. And if Popper and the band were the guys that were like, wouldn't this be funny? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I would kind of put it in that vein. I don't know that it was like a record label decision because he was front and center every other time and everywhere else. So maybe it was like
it was after the success of that song in that video though.
That's true.
Listeners, if you know the truth behind this, or if you even know what I'm talking about, send us an email.
Yeah, email us or hit us up on our socials.
Because we genuinely don't know, and I am curious.
Yeah. I'm in the camp of I think it was probably more of a Blues Traveler decision, something funny that they thought they could do.
Could be.
The only thing that makes me feel like it might be true is just because I'm not going to like ball them out on the podcast or anything. Not anybody would maybe know who they are. But friends of ours that made it into a famous band, who was going around like touring with like Fuel on them, their drummer and bass player were actually told that, like, you guys need to lose weight and figure out something else, or you're just never going to be featured in any videos. You're going to be in the back of every poster.
Yeah.
And that's what they were told by the record label. So it wouldn't surprise me either.
I don't think it's uncommon.
Yeah.
I don't think it's uncommon at all for labels to really be shitty about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To Scott's point, listeners, if you know, hit us up. Let us know because we're very curious.
On a much smaller level than what you're talking about, because I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I was in a Christian band for a short period of time, and we were signed to a label called Goatee Records. And we were all told to thin up.
Yeah.
Band was that?
Heavily enforced.
Can I tell him?
Thin up.
The name of the band was Never Stop, Never Stopping.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah,
he was open for a lot of big Christian bands too.
Yeah, Pillar, POD.
Yeah, played Hair Acts Arena.
17.
Yeah.
Nutter Center. Yeah.
Nutter Center.
Yeah.
I was thinking of one Cameron Rigmaiden did.
Definitely not that one.
How big would you really be played the Nutter Center and not Hera? I mean, let's be honest.
Right. Slacker. Well, in fairness, it was only half of Nutter Center, so it wasn't the whole thing.
See, that's what I'm saying, dude.
Are you talking about that Christian jam?
It was the Nut Center.
Yeah, it was just the Nut
just
Center.
The Nut Center.
Yeah. It was like one of those half
people. It was only like 25,000 instead of like, you know, the standard 50.
Who else was on Goatee Records? MXPX, correct?
Honestly,
no, they were on Tooth and Nail.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
It's so long ago.
Irrelevant, but.
What else do we got?
Hey, we're going to move right into number three. This is a big one. This is a big one.
Yeah.
It's the biggest.
We have two ahead of this, but this is huge.
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 It's huge.
So huge.
Came straight out of China.
No other song has been bigger than this. And I know I've got better ears. My doctor says I have the best ears, and nobody can dispute that.
That was really good.
Hey!
That was huge.
Luke with a pretty damn good Donald Trump impression.
Dude, I hear it all the time.
I appreciate that. Number three, Sir Mix-a-Lot's famous Baby Got Back.
Yeah, man. Man, the first song I ever heard anybody, out of all the Eazy-E's and the NWA's and the Two Live Crews, the only one that was ever like, my anaconda don't want none.
Yeah, like, I don't want none.
Unless you got buns, huh? Whoosh. I mean, he said it like it was on pop radio. Baby Got Back came out in 1992. It samples the 1986 Detroit techno sample, Technicolor. Came out in 1992, samples the 1986 Detroit techno single, Technicolor, by Channel One.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys ever heard that.
No.
Channel One was my favorite band when I was...
It was my favorite station.
They were huge.
Grade.
Yeah.
It was so huge.
Well, if anybody wants to know, that's where the sample for that song came from.
Okay. Nice. All right.
I don't know. It debuted at number 75, and within 2 weeks, it was number one.
Nice. Boom.
Yeah. It was the second best-selling single in 1992, just behind, guess who?
92?
One of the biggest groups in the world. I said group to give you a hint.
Mm. Damn. 92.
Not a big hint, a little hint.
Big, huge group.
Huge group in 92.
Give me the genre.
Nirvana?
No. Not rock. Oh. I'd say pop.
Pop.
Mm-hmm.
When?
92.
New Kids? Oh.
At the time, bigger. At the time, bigger.
Bigger.
Boys to Men?
Yes.
Boys to... I mean, that would be my next... Damn it.
End of the road,
whoa,
baby.
Love this guy to my left. I love
language.
Him.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
By the fire, baby.
Just behind Boys to Men's End of the Road.
Oh, that's a great tune.
God, yeah. End of the Road, and, so and the reason he wrote this song is because he felt confident that he did not see enough representation of big women, thick women, in like the magazines and the commercials. It was all like these thin white girls, right? Yeah.
It's like, you know, heroin chic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I need them.
I need
thick ladies in there.
I need them BB dubs.
I need them asses, bro.
I need them BB dubs.
Yeah. So that's
ain't nothing wrong with that, baby.
That's his love track to thick women. I got to give him a shout, man.
No more Kate Moss.
I got
give
a little
me the big boss.
I got a little tidbit on that one.
Yeah.
Hit us.
Nicki Minaj, she did a like a reboot of that song. It came very popular on TikTok.
Wasn't it called Anaconda?
Yeah, it was called okay. Anaconda.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So she just spliced up a bunch of that song and then put her own little spin to it. Actually, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm a Nicki Minaj fan.
Of course you are.
Dude, we couldn't tell by the gleam in your eye as soon as you mentioned her.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I did actually like that song. I'll play in my car.
Hey, shout out to Nicki Minaj if you ever want to come on the show. Luke would love to have you.
My Anaconda don't.
We will need an interpreter with her though.
No. I don't think you're thinking of Cardi B.
Yeah, Cardi B.
Nicki Minaj, oh. Very articulate, oh wonderful young woman.
She did. Have you guys heard Super Bass? Oh my God!
Yeah. How much I know.
Yeah, Super Bass is actually a really great
and
tune.
I could rap the whole fucking song.
Luke, can, just for our listeners,
you didn't all right, catch number two.
If you didn't catch that because he trailed off because he was like, "Do I want to admit that on air?"
I, dude.
Luke can rap the entire song of Super Bass. And for everyone listening, there will be, now that we know this, a show where he raps the entire song for you.
Yep. Why not?
There is no getting around that now, Luke.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, bro.
He will. He might cut a bit.
I'm sorry. He might do it right now.
I'm sorry.
You know, and I just want to take a second and say, we just kind of glazed over the fact that Puffy actually sang that Blues Traveler song.
Yeah.
We just kind of did it and moved on, but like we kind of glazed over the fact that you actually sang that. So we got to give you a little bit of credit
for
that.
Yeah.
That was good job. Well done. Good
job.
Well done.
Even with the record labels, contact us at greatamericancreepshow@gmail.com.
Even with the cracking voice in the chorus,
I appreciate
zoned it.
Off a little bit when it started playing, and I was like,
you just got feeling
it. I was like, why is Scott playing the song? And then I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Puffy brought that shit
up. So, and we've all got a special surprise. We're all
going to
sing.
Everyone here is going to sing
a song.
One of their
guys.
Songs. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say that Puffy is the only actual singer here. The rest of us are not singers, but we're still going to give it 110%.
Yeah, you couldn't tell by that performance.
You just give 110%. Just wake up every day and give 110%.
I mean, you go out there, you try to play your best, try to do your best. You know, give it 110%.
That's all you can do.
We're going to move on from Baby Got Back. And I don't want to. I love that. I still to this day love that song. If I'm in my car and that song comes on, that song does not get turned off until it gets start to finish.
Yep.
And I'm rapping the whole thing.
Even if the kids are in it?
I don't care. Dude, my...
I just ask it.
Let the kids jam.
I mean, you could be on your way home from church.
They don't know anything about Anaconda. Yeah.
Nope.
It doesn't matter.
Nope. Honestly, both of my kids would be in the back dancing. It'd be awesome. So... That occasion hasn't come up yet, but I hope it does someday. Number two. Great American Creep Show's top 10 90s one-hit wonders. We're gonna throw this one over to Poopster. Achy, Breaky, Heart by Billy, AIDS Virus.
other world. You never was my girl. You can burn my clothes up when I'm gone, or you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been and laugh and joke about me on the phone. You can tell my arms go back to the farm. You can tell my feet to hit the floor, or you can tell my lips to tell my fingertips they won't be reaching out no more. But don't tell my heart, my achy breaky heart, I don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy breaky heart, he might blow up and kill this man. Ooh,
ooh. Good job, Poopy.
Poopy.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Achy Breaky Heart. Poopy, tell us a little bit about that song.
Yeah. Lying dormant.
Good job, Poopster.
Nice, man.
Holding it down on a microphone.
I'm just going to tell you, in my opinion, we need to change that song. That Achy Breaky song. It kills me.
Hey, don't change that song.
It kills me here. I mean, you know, it's world known. I mean, everybody, it's a great song, but it's just, I feel like it's been overplayed.
Hence the reason it's on the list.
Because it's huge. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was originally written by Don Von Tress and ultimately recorded by Billy Ray Cyrus, yep, who turned the criminally catchy tune into one of the biggest country hits of all time.
Debatable.
It's up there.
It was. I mean, look,
Thunder
it was
rolls.
You got to give it its credit.
I'm giving
time.
It its credit.
Yeah, it's up there.
This was before Garth came around. Really,
it became it. Listen to this. It became the first single ever to achieve triple platinum status in Australia.
What is it? What is it about the Aussies, dude?
In Australia.
Freaking Aussies.
They love that tune.
Jesus.
I don't even know how that would sound in Australian accent. I was going to try, but I can't think of it. Give me, what's an Australian accent sound like?
I don't know.
Crikey.
I don't know. I can just say crikey.
Put another shrimp on the bobby.
But here's the thing. It oddly sounds country.
Austria.
Maybe that's why you can't think of it, because it oddly sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. it became kind of a crossover hit on pop and country radio that peaked number 4 on the Billboard 100. Everybody knows this song, and yeah. I don't think we need to hear this song, this Achy Breaky song, anymore.
No. I think it was the song that really started the idea of the line dance.
Country line dancing, yeah. Could have been.
Mean, it might have been. I'm sure there was one before me, but.
Did Boot Scoot and Boogie come out before this or after this?
After. After. This was 90, like, this is like 91.
Okay. All right.
This was Garth and Brooks and Dunn, Alan Jackson, all them
Garth
cats
was around in 1991, bro.
I'm not saying he wasn't around. Yeah, I'm saying he wasn't Garth Brooks that we knew. Check me. Look up the release date. Look up the release date of Friends in Low Places, because that's the song that put Garth on the map. I could be wrong. I feel like that came later.
I'm not even. It's not even a concern about. I'm just curious when Boot Scoot and Boogie came out.
Boot Scoot and Boogie.
Because I agree with you that I think that this did start the trend.
I placed these songs as where I was at in high school, and I feel like Boot Scoot Boogie came out in my later high school years. Whereas Achy Breaky Heart, I know that we were, me and my buddy Jason, and
released
Skinny,
in 92.
Achy Breaky Heart,
May 25th, 1992 was Boot Scoot and Boogie. And Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus.
That had to have been 90 or 91.
It probably was, yeah. It probably was before that. So let's go to
92.
March 23rd, 1992.
Ooh, that is close.
So that's like very close.
Very close. Closer than what I thought.
Yeah, well. One of those two songs definitely inspired the country line dancing craze that happened in the 90s. It's one of those two. For
one of
sure.
those two. Yep.
And it could, I mean, you could probably just, you know, insert song here.
Yeah.
And it started it. But yeah. Achy Breaky Heart, when I was a kid, I jammed it.
Yeah. I was telling Luke a Poopy the other day.
Oh, yes.
He doesn't believe my story, which I don't know what's so unbelievable
saying,
about it.
Scott, you're allowed to believe whatever you want to believe.
And by the way, real quick, Garth Brooks released The Thunder Rolls in 90.
Boom.
Ooh.
But would that be a line dance?
Dropping.
Song?
No, not, that what, okay. Well, not line dancing, but.
That well, that song and Friends in Low Places were on the same album, were they not?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, they were.
No Fences, I believe, was the name of the album.
And the dance, too, wasn't it?
The dance was on there.
Oh, dude.
There were a bunch of hits on that album, bro.
You want to see Raiders 2 cry? Play the dance.
That's
just play the dance. All you got to do.
Yeah. The dance is my all-time favorite song.
I don't want to see you cry.
Garth is the goat.
He is the goat.
But well, today's not about the goat. It's about
George Strait's
the
goat.
Wonder.
But Garth is the goat. I mean, you know, yeah.
Let's hear this fictitious story.
John Michael Montgomery. I'm just kidding. Come on,
dance. You guys got to hear it. If you guys haven't heard it, I mean, you're probably going to feel the same way.
It's really not a story. It really isn't. It's so fact. You got to keep in mind, this was like in 97, 98. So Billy had come and gone. He wasn't really a thing anymore, right?
Mm, yeah.
Fell off the, I think he even cut his mullet.
Yeah, you want to talk about 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. I mean, it was quick, right? So somewhere around 97, 98, I was dating this girl, and her grandparents lived in Flatwoods, Kentucky, right? So I had went with her and her family to visit her grandparents, who lived next to Billy Ray Cyrus.
Okay.
Right? Now, on the way down there, they were talking about how they lived, or her grandparents lived next to Billy Ray Cyrus. And I'm like, cool, who gives a shit? I did not care because at this point, I'm in the Pantera and the heaviest of Slayer and shit. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, you're too cool for school.
I was too cool. Chain wallet and all.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds like somebody broke his achy breaky heart.
No they doubt.
Did. Yeah. So we get there, unload our bags, right? And then they're directly across the street from where the houses were. It was just like a standard street. There's just a row of houses.
Just normal.
Billy Ray's house is right there. And they're like, oh, it's Billy Ray's house. And I'm like, cool. Look like a regular house. Not a big deal. Right? We go to McDonald's. We walk into this McDonald's and there's a shrine, a Billy Ray shrine. Creepy shit. Football jerseys and signed. It just, Billy Ray was everywhere. We're sitting down, eating our food. In walks Billy Ray Cyrus with his child, little girl.
Miley,
right?
Wow.
Whose real name was?
I don't remember.
Destiny.
I know. Destiny. Okay. I just know her name wasn't Miley, right? So they come in. There wasn't even anybody there. So Billy Ray walks up and sits next to us where we were sitting because we were the only people in there. And apparently he knows.
Allegedly.
You know, the grandparents of my girlfriend.
Well, did he sit down and say, like, y'all want to hear a song?
No. He just sat down like it was not a thing.
I got one.
This cheeseburger.
And then he just passed his daughter over to me and sat her on my lap. And she's maybe, I don't know, 4 at the time. This little girl bouncing on my knee.
Didn't we do the math? She would have been like 6.
Whatever.
So you're
the
telling
math
me
is.
That the world famous
Miley Cyrus,
Miley
yeah.
Ray Cyrus,
yeah, bounced on the old knee, bro.
You held her when I she did. Was a youngin.
I did, and we did the math, and it couldn't have been her other two sisters because they would have been okay. One would have been way too old, and one would have not, I don't think been alive.
Doing the okay. math, yeah, it makes sense.
Math is hard.
So, yeah. So that's my story. Not a big deal. I know it seems like it maybe because I bounced
it's
Miley
kind
Cyrus
of a big
on my
deal.
Knee.
It's kind of a big
but that's
deal.
That's not the funny part. Like the whole funny part of it all was just like him telling me that. And I was like, yeah, sure.
You're like,
and
all
he was
right,
like,
cool.
But the reaction to that was, oh, are you saying I'm lying?
Oh, so okay, so now that we're yeah. on air, he's like, yeah. not a big deal. But yeah. when he was telling you the story, dude, and he didn't get the reaction he wanted.
This went straight from down here all the way upstairs till I left, where he was like, look, man, I've got no reason to lie. I was like, Scott.
Yeah, I'm like,
Scott.
I don't know why you don't believe me.
I was like, Scott, what is? It's not that I don't believe you. It's just, it's perfectly acceptable for you to believe you. I'm not saying.
Of all the stories I can make up, why would that be the one?
That is a weird one.
It's the perfect crime.
That is a weird one.
That's why it's the perfect crime.
Luke's not wrong.
Man, I ran into John Travolta in Cincinnati doing a garage door work. Would you believe that?
Yes.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
That actually really happened.
Yeah, well.
100%.
Did he hit on you? Anyway, Achy Breaky Heart, ladies and gentlemen, number 2.
Yeah, good song.
On the Great American Creepshow's top 10 one-hit wonders of the 90s.
Yeah.
Moving on, number 1.
And good job, Luke, by the
way. Yeah, Luke,
good
very job. Good. Yeah,
good
very,
job,
very
Luke.
Good. Absolutely, yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Number 1 on the Great American Creep Show's top 10 90s one hit wonders.
Hey.
Drum roll.
That's all I got.
We're going to pass it to Rager Tooth for the Macarena.
Here we go.
Macarena.
Yeah.
Los Del Rio. Now, What's crazy is this was first released in Spanish, of course.
Must be Spanish.
Yep. Released in Spanish.
For El Nino.
So these guys actually went around for 3 years. Okay. They played at Venezuelan parties with this song, and people started making remixes of it. And then there was a DJ around 1996 who caught wind of it when someone called in, said they heard it at a club, and wanted him to play on air. So then he took it to the record producers, right? And he starts talking to them. They task him with making the English remix version, which we all came to know and love, in 1996. And they started playing on the airwaves down there. It came to number one and was number one for 14 weeks.
Wow.
And then was also voted by VH1 to be the best one-hit wonder of all time.
Yeah, and that's probably why it's number one on our list, because I don't know that you can dispute that the Macarena is not the greatest one-hit wonder of all time.
So
it's like inarguable.
And think about this, too. So when it released the English version in 1996, by 1997, it had made over $11 million.
Good grief.
Yeah. And still to this day generates around anywhere between $900,000 and $1.5 million per year.
Worst part is...
Macarena!
Yeah! Don't you worst part is, boyfriend. Pitbull's been trying to get in on that action for a long time.
Long time. But Adam Sandler beat him out in Hotel Transylvania 3... when they do the song, and it kind of like rejuvenated the song again.
That's the only lyric to that song I know.
Honestly, the only song that I would put above that did not make the list because Sir Vanilla Ice had two hits in the top 10. And for the listeners that are like, why Vanilla Ice on there?
I knew he would do this.
We have to.
Not really. It's not on the list.
It's not on the list.
No.
He's not even in the honorable
mentions. Not even in the honorable mentions, but we had to bring up
Vanilla Ice.
Freaking Rob Van Winkle over there.
He had two hits, man. We got to let the audience know he had two hits. He didn't qualify. If it wasn't for that second hit, he would have been number one in my book anyway.
I don't know that you can put Ice Baby ahead of the Macarena.
I would disagree.
Well, VH1 disagrees with you, sir.
Well, who's VH1? They went under.
Well, they were the shit back in the day.
Now they're VH2.
I think they are VH2.
They went from VH1 to VH done pretty quick.
Hey-o.
Hey, you can't mini hey-o yourself.
Mini hey-o.
Hey-o. Hey-o. So listeners out there, that is the Great American Creep Show's one-hit wonders of the 90s top 10 list.
Yeah, baby.
It could be debated.
It could be argued. Debate.
So please, if you have input, email us, greatamericancreepshow@gmail.com, or hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. Let us know if there's a song that we missed, something that should have been on this list in the top 10. But for now, we're going to move on to our honorable mentions, because I think there are at least a few that didn't make our top 10, didn't quite crack our top 10.
So close,
and
though.
Very close. And guys, we went through this. We debated this. We talked about this for a while before we came up with this list. Mm-hmm. And so number one honorable mention for us, and these are not in any particular order like the top 10 list was, but number one on the list is a song called and we're going to pass this one over to Sugar Free.
Was this kid got into an accident, couldn't come to school, but when he finally came back, his hair had turned from black into bright white. He said that it was from when the cars were smashed so hard.
Sugar Free on very the good mic, ladies and gentlemen. Oh,
Scott, that was amazing. I am dry as the Sahara.
He would not throw his panties at you.
They're stuck.
Oh,
he cricketed himself.
Cricketed myself.
Scott, tell us a little bit about Crash Test Dummies.
Crash Test Dummies.
Great band, by the way.
Yeah, man. Awesome, I would call the Crash Test Dummies the less gothic typo negative.
Don't know what that means.
Don't knows what he means. Ever.
Yeah, my listeners out there, you know what I'm saying. Yeah,
to me, that's just a blood type.
You guys got nothing on Peter Steele.
Well, I would disagree.
Well, I mean, you would.
But he's just saying it like it's like a less gothic version of it.
Yeah, it's just a less gothic version. Yeah, not better or worse. I'm just saying, you know, they both sound like, you know, that was a scared. I mean, that's kind of how they both sing.
Luke, I think he's saying they're better.
It sounds like.
Get him, man.
The way he's describing it, he's like, all they're missing is just vampire teeth.
So, basically, well, actually, that's in my notes. Less gothic, typo negative, Peter Steele without fangs. It's actually in my notes. So, thank you for reminding me.
I give you that. That's funny.
At top.
Yeah. Actually peaked at number 4 in the top 100. There really isn't. Well, what I got to say about this is that I never knew that this song was based on true events.
Peter Steele been number 1.
So the lead singer basically says somewhere around the 4th grade, he went to his buddy's house and his buddy had porno magazines. And he had convinced, because he was in a very religious household, right? And his buddy convinced him to look at these porno magazines. And on the way home, he got in a car accident. Okay? And he thought that because he looked at the porno magazines, that's why he got in a car accident.
And you're still agnostic after hearing that story?
Well, no, not really.
He's atheist. All right.
Not really.
You're like, I have devoted my life now.
He is a devout atheist agnostic, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
He loves making shit up.
So when he writes this song, what he does is he takes a little portion of his life and he infuses it with something big that happened. So when he's talking about something about his hair from black, white, whatever, right?
What just happened?
Yep. Little mini stroke. Told you about the strokes. Right. Sarah turned from black into bright white. So that line comes from a guy who was actually rafting on Niagara Falls.
Right,
this is a true story. And as he was coming to the edge of it, I guess he had stated that he knew that his life was over. And within a split second, his hair went from black to white. This is his testimony.
Really?
The guy never died. So that's how we have the story.
that's a lot of stress.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. And then the birthmark part of it, you know, there's a little girl who, something about a birthmark, right?
A little girl who,
little Scott Stapp in here for you. So he,
my poop is smoking.
I just ate Taco Bell.
Welcome to my bathroom. My God, my bowels are in hell.
I use them dude wipes as hell. So he has the lead singer actually has a birthmark on his knee, and it's called a giant hairy nebus. Okay?
Sounds gross.
Is that medically like stated?
It's medically called a giant hairy nebus.
Sounds like a Star Wars character.
Some kind of
Luke, look out for the hairy nebus.
No. The giant hairy nebus would be a good guy, like kind of like the Wookiee.
Yeah, you know? Luke, we're gonna have company.
That's actually the real name of the Wookiees, because everybody else just named them the Wookiees. Yeah, so they can't talk.
Right? Could be. I don't know. But point is he had obviously a lot of problems dealing with this giant hairy nebus on his knee.
I guess so.
And he was very, very uncomfortable with it.
Like as you would be.
He put this in the song as the birthmark.
I was getting rubbed raw.
The girl who had a birthmark that wouldn't go and change. And the girls with the change room. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, when this album came out, everyone hated it because...
Tell me
if
why.
I'm being honest, it's not the greatest.
No.
It's just got a niche there, you know? And it really fucking hit. And me and my buddy Shifty, it was our thing where we would just kind of ride around together and force ourselves to listen to Crash Test Dummies. The whole album from beginning to end, but it was fun. It was a lot of laughing, you know.
Sounds like you
go on camping trips, step right out in nature. Don't even know what that means, but
literally sounds like some type of torture that the U.S. started to do after the initiation of the Patriot Act.
Look, Crash Test Dummies is not for everyone. But I know we got listeners
riding
out there
around listening to Crash Test Dummies.
And wasn't it? I think the first time I heard it wasn't it on Dumb and Dumber.
I think it was on Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I think that was actually the first time I heard it.
Really?
Yeah, it was on Dumb and Dumber. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'll give it to you because they do have a great song, Superman song. That's one of my favorites by Crash Test Dummies. Yeah. And it was the first time I ever heard him in general. Is my dad, he come home from work and he was like, hey, can you look up on the, because my dad's 63. He's like, can you look up on the YouTubes? I know you know how to do that. Can you? I listened to this song today and it is really good. It's called the Superman song by Crash Test Dummies. And I played it and that was the first time I heard it. And I was like, I think my dad's on to something.
Not entirely sure what, but we'll go with it.
Yeah.
This is weird, Dad. I'll be the first to admit
He was enjoying. My dad's freaking, you know.
They're out bland. There. They are odd.
They're oddballs.
They kind of remind me of like a bunch of artsy kids that decided to start a band.
Yeah.
You know, and the lead singer's like, well, I can't really sing high, so I'm just going to go.
Yeah. And the video for it is just
crazy.
And check this out. I didn't cover this. This is actually great. The chorus was written, one, because he had no lyrics to put with what he had already had.
Makes total sense.
He takes it to the band, and he's like, I got nothing for the chorus. I need your guys' help. And they were like, yeah, why don't you just leave it alone? Just don't put anything there. And he was like, And then he comes up with the melody, I never knew this, that what he's actually saying, he's passing judgment on the people who's judging the people the song is about.
So it's almost like a tisk tisk kind of thing.
Yes.
Like, okay.
He's going,
okay.
How
that makes way more sense.
Because each section, each kid in the song is a kid that was an outcast.
And is being judged.
And is being judged.
Yeah.
And that's him going, don't do that. Who knew,
better knock that shit off.
Turn that fucking light on, bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my...
Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah. I thought he named it after that computer from Jurassic Park when they kept typing in the wrong password. And said,
Luke's talking. Keep talking.
Crash Test Dummies, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, honorable mention number one.
Moving on to our honorable mention number deuce. We're going to kick it over to Rager Tooth here.
Yo.
Little song called I Wish by an artist named Skilo.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, a 6'4 Impala. I wish I was like 6'9 so I can get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat, her boyfriend's tall, and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, in some cases, never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleacher with the rest of the girls who can't watch her man ball. Dad, yo, I never understood that. Why that Josh did the fly girls, I always get the hood rat. I tell him, scat, skit, skedaddle. Got hit with a bottle, put in the hospital for talking that mess. I confess, it's a shame when you're living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, quick, I got sick, sick to my stomach, overcome it by my thoughts of me and her thought together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't her type. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, a 6'4 Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, a 6'4 Impala. Yeah.
Hello. Rager Tooth, ladies
good
and gentlemen.
Job. Rager Rizzy Cup Tooth.
Thank you.
Killing,
thank
I you. Wish. Little Skilo action.
Little Skilo, little Skeetlo.
You want to tell us a little bit about that tune?
Yeah, I actually do. So, now.
Yeah, I actually do.
I have to say this before our fellow creeps out there start emailing us and saying, Rager Tooth, that was not in the top 10 ever. You're right. It only reached number 13, but I felt that the fact it was also nominated for a Grammy for Best Solo Rap Performance.
Tell them.
That it deserved to be on the honorable mentions list, only to be beat out by Gangster's Paradise by Coolio.
You heard it here, folks.
It's a hard one to beat.
It's your list, buddy. Don't let anybody
it's an honorable mention.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I don't want people getting all mad. Like, hey.
Mentioned honorably.
Yeah, so that was actually the only hit he had, unfortunately.
Straight up.
So.
Yeah. I bet he wished he had another hit.
Yeah, he did.
He also wished he was a little bit taller and a girl he could call her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even being a baller. But I could relate to that because around this time that this song came out, I remember I was super into playing basketball. And, you know, I mean, I was short. obviously. But my grandma told me a story about a fellow basketball player who was really short.
Spud Webb.
Spud Webb. That was Webb. It. Atlanta Hawks.
Shout out to Spud Webb. Yep. You ever want to be on the show, man? We'd Dude, love to have you.
You or Muggsy Bogues. Muggsy Bogues, 5'3". But Spud Webb could actually dunk. The basketball one was actually in the dunk contest.
He won a dunk contest.
He won it.
He won the dunk contest.
Yeah, yeah. And he was what, 5'6"?
I mean,
5'7"?
If he was lucky.
Yeah.
Old Spudsy.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Had some sweet dunks in that contest.
Oh,
too,
yeah,
man.
He did.
Little
did
dunks.
Was that the same one that Dominique Wilkins was in?
They so, called Dunkaroos.
Neek was in it, and I just actually saw an interview about him recently where they were asking him, like, because they were on the same team. They both played for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
And Dominique was on a show where they were asking him, like, were you salty about the fact that Spud won that one? And he was like, no, that was my brother, man. Like, we're still best friends to this day. Yeah. And he was just really super stoked for him. So, again, shout out Spud Webb and Dominique Wilkins. Come on the show, guys.
Yep.
It's Kilo. We'd love to have you. And Skilo for sure. We'd love to have you.
Yep.
Let's be honest, man. You could probably use even a show like ours.
I mean, we won't pay you, but we'll get you some Mickey D's or something.
Yeah, exactly, man.
We could let you up meet like Spuds McKenzie or something.
We'll hook you up with like a
the
Wendy's
dog
Biggie meal.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly enough, no. That's not the dog from Target. Spuds McKenzie was the Bud Light dog.
Yeah, he was the Bud Light dog.
Oh, the Bud Light dog.
And I used to get those confused when I was younger.
Yeah, I did too.
Spud Webb and... Spuds McKenzie. I used to really get them confused. Mm. I had no idea that one was a dog and one was a person.
Scott was like, it's pretty sweet that Spuds McKenzie won that dunk contest.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Dude,
yeah.
The dog is supremely talented.
What was the fact that he was on all fours? Yeah.
Well, they made a movie about him, that a dog that could dunk.
Yeah, Air Bud. Yeah.
Air Bud. But he was a golden retriever.
Yeah. So anything else about Skilo?
No, man. That's about it. That's really all I could really find about him.
Yeah.
To be honest.
All right. Well,
listeners, that's a
great honorable
wrap.
Mention.
That's a wrap on
that
the show.
That is a wrap.
Tonight.
It was a wrap. Yeah.
This was a wrap. We're wrapping now.
Wrap. We're wrapping everything.
Yep.
Listen, I know that there are going to be some people out there that disagree with this top 10 list, and we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Email us.
Where?
GreatAmericanCreepShow@gmail.com.
Where?
GreatAmericanCreepShow@gmail.com.
Where?
Absolutely.
Or you can hit us up on our socials as well. You can let us know in the comments for any of our posts or whatever you want to do. Just let us know. Instagram, Facebook, on the YouTubes.
Yeah.
Let us know if you agree with this list. Do you disagree with this list? Are there other honorable mentions that you would put here? Wouldn't necessarily put it in the top 10, right? But something that we may have missed.
Yeah. Let us know about it.
We would love to know.
But you got to make sure before you message, just make sure that it was only one hit in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't want none of that bullshit where you send us a message and it's like, what about the Vanilla Ice thing where it's like, well, what about Vanilla Ice? Well, it's like, well, he had two top 10 hits.
Yep.
So that's the caveat.
Yep.
Only one top 10 hit in the Billboard Hot 100.
If you're wrong, that's your ass. We're going to call you out on
you
it.
You know what we do here. So be prepared. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. We really appreciate you tuning in. So on behalf of Puffy,
Skinny,
Sugar-Free, Poopy Lukey, and the Rager Tooth, we are out. Great American Creep Show proudly presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Here's to you, Mr. Guy Who Brings Up Vanilla Ice at Inappropriate Times.
Mr. Guy Who Brings Up Vanilla Ice at Appropriate Times.
You believe Robert Van Winkle can do no wrong and insist he actually had two hits, even though the rest of the world only remembers one.
Go Ninja!
You scoff at the Jim Carrey impersonation from A Living Color and declare to the world that nobody has the right to tear down the greatest rapper of all time.
Got an awkward smile.
While some may argue, you believe Vanilla Ice walked so Eminem could run.
Just a rumor.
Last I checked, Eminem was not hung from a balcony by Suge Knight.
Not factual!
So we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Brings Up Vanilla Ice at Inappropriate Times.
Mr. Guy Who Brings Up Vanilla Ice at Inappropriate Times.